Now we're going to head right into our bloggers roundtable and get some feedback on the Roland Burris news, plus a neighborhood ball for inauguration week. What's that? We'll find out. With us, media consultant Carmen Dixon. She writes the blog All About Race and also blogs for AOL Black Voices. We've got Jay Anderson of the blog Average Bro and education analyst Casey Lartig. His blog is The Casey Lartig Show. Hi, folks.
Hi, Brian. Hello.
So let's start with Burris. He went to Capitol Hill yesterday to try to claim the Illinois Senate seat that was vacated by President-elect Barack Obama, but he showed up without a key signature of the Illinois Secretary of State, was turned away, and now Democrats are waiting to see if the signature is actually needed for him to be seated. We got a bit of legal advice yesterday from Sherrilyn Ifill, and she said, well, yeah, apparently so. But this is a very odd conclusion to the presidential race, and then this seat opening up, and of course the issue with the governor, not small issues of him being currently under legal investigation and indictment. You know, Jay, you've been blogging about this. What are you looking at as you look at this?
I think it's amazing. I mean, I didn't have any idea that Chicago politics were this corrupt. I mean, Detroit looks at Chicago like, man, you guys need to get your act together, right? I mean, seriously, it's like a soap opera. It's like a bad reality show. I just think overall, you know, Burris should be seated. I don't particularly think, you know, either way I think you can argue all day whether he's qualified or not. I mean, I personally think he is if you look at the fact that he's won 4 elected offices already. But I think ultimately it comes down to the fact that the Democratic Party is pretty embarrassed by this. They want this whole Blago situation to go away, and they don't want any taint over this Senate seat, which is obviously a very important one. That said, seat Burris, you know, Blago, again, is within his rights because he has not formally been charged or impeached yet. Go ahead, let Burris be seated. And if Blago is impeached, then go ahead and let the lieutenant governor determine, you know, what's going to happen with Burris.
You're using the short and familiar for Blagojevich, which
sorry.
I've heard. No.
Yeah,
no.
We were just hanging out last night.
I myself have butchered it in the past, but I think I'm holding it down a little bit right now. But it's always interesting to me to see, you know, how many people are challenged by his name, let alone his ethics. But let's go back to this question of the Senate seat, Carmen. I just want to point out a couple of conversations that are going on. One of them is that Congressman Emanuel Cleaver said that this seat should not be viewed as, quote, the black seat, the Senate seat. But Congressman Bobby Rush asked Senate Democrats to seat Burris because there are no black Senate members, and he called the all-white chamber, quote, the last bastion of plantation politics. So what do you see in the intersection of those two comments?
Well, I had the benefit of watching cable news all morning and watching as Reid sat down with Burris and had the photo op to sort of counteract yesterday's disastrous, in my opinion, for the Democratic parties. Burris approaching in the rain, being turned away from this. I mean, it was disastrous. And now you even have Barack Obama coming out and saying he's a good man, and if he, you know, it's a Senate matter, but if he's seated, I will work with him. Talk about an about face. But the point is, they were scrambling. What I noted, the headline as I rushed here, the headline in my mind was the secretary is Secretary of the Senate, Timothy Wright is a player hater because it all comes down to this signature. So you have Reid reminding the press and all of America that Wright is an African American and that Burris says this is not a racial issue. So they are scrambling as hard as possible to keep race out of this. And they must have said in Reid's press conference about 20 minutes ago, 5 times, race is not an issue. So I don't know if there is an intersection, except that the race card was laid down, it's now visible, and they're trying to pull it off the table.
Casey, what do you make of the partisan politics in this?
You know, first of all, it's a shame that people like Bobby Rush are just so quick to racialize things. This is not We Shall Overcome. This is not Bloody Selma 1965 all over again. This is just one of those raw political struggles that goes on in this town. I mean, it's an interesting one, I guess. Now, my prediction is that he will be seated by the Senate. And the lesson for youngsters out there is that it's best not to go to a new job with a letter of recommendation from a known crook.
Oh, God.
All right, he probably could have gotten seated faster at Denny's or an electric chair in Texas than, you know, getting seated in the Senate.
Oh, my goodness.
And go ahead. Right, if I could just chime in, I think it's interesting that Bobby Rush is so adamant about this seat being replaced by a black candidate, you know, or a black senator, given the fact that if we rewind a few years ago, I think everyone will remember that Bobby Rush was not behind Barack Obama when he ran for Senate in the first place, because I guess depending on who you ask, it seemed like he was harboring some ill sentiments, given the fact that Obama ran against him and challenged him earlier on in their careers. So it's very interesting that now he's so, you know, adamant about the fact that we've got to have a black person in this seat, when that wasn't the case. I don't know. It seems a little self-serving, and maybe there's a motive.
You're right, but also Bobby Rush wouldn't be for Burris if Burris was running against him now. So, you know, I mean, it's just, you know, he's just seeing black in this situation. So,
I want to move on to a couple of other political issues. We've got a lighter one in a second, but I wanted to ask the question, is political news viable? And that may sound strange when you've got one of the biggest political events coming up in, I mean, some people argue it's the biggest in a lifetime, but cable news shows and electronic media in general actually saw their huge audiences evaporate after the election. There were massive, you know, multi-million dollar viewer drops in basically in what was a huge audience for political news. And according to Nielsen Online, the biggest decline that you saw online was at popular news websites. Have any of you guys, Carmen, do you think that there is still as strong an appetite for political news? And if so, is that appetite changing at all, since obviously we're not in a situation of seeing all these different races, except for maybe Al Franken?
It's a tricky thing, because I must say my readership since November is up 20%. So I'm wondering if it's, but I blog about all sorts of things, not just politics, and that maybe politics drew them to the site and they stay for other reasons. But I'm thinking that maybe purely political sites where you don't have a relationship with the writers, or we're watching on news and anchors become newsreaders, shall I say, not even anchors, become interchangeable, that there is an emphasis to turn off the TV. Also, because the news is so depressing, the economic news, there is, in the at least the run-up to the election and right after it, it was energetic, it was exciting, the possibility was exciting. Now, every time you turn on the news, it is really depressing. Myself, I've had to back away from cable news because I was just getting overwhelmed with the dire financial situation in our country.
Casey, do you think that that's part of it, that people are just having news fatigue, and you have people like the popular health expert Dr. Andrew Weil saying, take a break from the news for your health?
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, people have been hearing about this big event that's going to be coming up, the election. So it's a lot like the NFL and the Super Bowl. After the game is over, people lose interest in the NFL, I mean, until the season starts up again. But there was that one big event that people are waiting for, so we shouldn't be surprised. Same thing, eggnog consumption is probably down in the last 2 weeks. You know, I mean, you know, these things
speak
happen.
For yourself, I've got it in an ice cube tray. No, but I mean, Jay, ultimately, for you guys who are all active bloggers, I mean, there are some very personal decisions that you get to make, and Carmen was giving good news about her traffic. Do you have a sense of whether or not the people who read and visit your blog they're wanting the hard news or the political news? Do you have any sense of the opinions of people on what they want?
I'm in the same boat as Carmen. My blog is not a political blog. I talk politics because obviously, I mean, that's what a lot of people want to talk about. But, you know, just like Carmen, my site traffic is actually going up since November. I think people had people were fatigued. They're tired. I mean, it's almost like, I don't know firsthand, I'm just judging on what my wife told me. After you carry the baby for 9 months, the last thing you want to do is carry a baby for 9 months. And, you know, this year's political season was just like that. It was more so than being political. I think this year was almost like a reality show. You had so many personalities. You had Sarah Palin. You had, you know, Joe the Plumber. You had Barack Obama and all the historical significance there. I mean, it's almost like watching the last 11 months or so of political coverage, it hasn't really been politics. So a lot of the people who got themselves ramped up and who were interested in this all of a sudden, you know, they're not going to be as interested in the soup and bolts and the day-to-day, you know, goings-on now that Obama's in office and he's appointing the cabinet. I mean, those are
almost
the less sexy.
Office.
Almost in office, I'm sorry. Those are the less sexy and less interesting, you know, aspects of the whole political process. And most people, you know, they jump ship. They were interested in all the theater, and now that's over. And again, I think, like Carmen said, if you're a blogger and you've got interesting enough material, on my site, you know, I've switched now to doing a lot more sports, a lot more pop culture, you know, a lot of things, again, that don't depend on you know, the political machine, and my site traffic has continued to go up.
Well, I want to transition into one of those points where politics and pop culture meet, and that is the inauguration. You've got now NBA stars, foreign dignitaries, and, of course, everyone from the hood showing up in Washington, D.C., or at least planning to. And a lot of people have been saying, well, what can I actually go to, whether or not I'm in D.C.? So there was an announcement that there would be a neighborhood inaugural ball that was actually hosted by or official with the president, because there are balls that are, you know, the official balls where he's definitely going to go around and visit. And then there's ones, there's a zillion other parties. But an official ball has a very specific status. And this one's going to be at the Washington Convention Center. There's going to be tickets put aside for local residents. But there's also going to be webcasting and texting and all of these. You know, so many people are going to be having house parties, or there's going to be street corner parties. Washington, D.C. delegate Eleanor Holmes Norton recently told NPR she's excited about her new neighbors and just all of the energy that this whole season is bringing.
They spoke out about reaching out to the district from the beginning. We're very pleased, of course, because we've not had a president who felt quite at home here as Barack Obama, but that's because he is one of the In fact, he is the first big city president in memory.
Of course, her neighbors are now the Obamas. Their kids started in school. Carmen, what do you think, just quickly, about the idea of trying to make the official process of the inauguration festivities open to more people? Is that a good idea?
I love the idea. I have no idea logistically how that's going to work. I've read everything, and I'm a former producer, and I looked at the logistics. I don't understand it. It's above my pay grade. I'll be there blogging it for AOL Black Voices, but I don't know how they're going to make it work.
Well, I mean, you know, Casey, do you think it's one of these things where maybe you might be better off sitting in your house with your computer?
Look, I'll tell you, I'm getting out of town during that week. You know, email me if you need a place to stay, because I'm going to be, yes.
Don't
I'm,
say that. Uh-oh. Everyone who you went to elementary school is now
dialing
your phone number.
It already happened, right?
Hey, I know other people who have places trying to rent out. That's the only thing. I'm not interested. I'm going to be out of town.
Jay, what do you think? I mean, is this going to be a situation where no matter what good will goes into planning, things are going to be a little messy?
I agree. I mean, logistically speaking, you have no idea how to prepare for this sort of thing. Personally, I think a lot of people are going to come here and be disappointed. I think so many people coming from out of town think this is going to be a city that's easy to get in and around. But I think logistically, Metro has no idea what they're going to, you know, be dealing with. Personally, I'm going to be there for it. You know, our plan is just to go and take a train and get as close to festivities as we can, and as soon as the inauguration and swearing in is over, we're out of here. Because again, it's going to be a zoo. A lot of people, like Casey was saying, you know, are getting out of town.
Oh yeah,
I've seen now a trend with, or I've heard a lot of people now talking about swapping homes with other people. You know, like, for example, I'll go to Florida and I'll take your home and you can take my house here, you know, for the week of the election. So, I mean, I'm sorry, for the inauguration. So, what? Really interesting time.
Well, in that case, if anybody in Hawaii is listening, you should have emailed
me. I think the Obama family might be on vacation.
Okay. I'll take their place, $9 million, whatever. I'll take it.
All right. On that note, guys, thanks so much. And if you're going to the inauguration, enjoy it. And if you're not going, enjoy it.
Okay.
We were speaking with Jay Anderson of Average Bro, Casey Lartig, whose blog is The Casey Lartig Show. Both were at our headquarters in Washington. We've also got media consultant Carmen Dixon, who writes the blog All About Race and blogs for AOL Black Voices. She'll be at the inauguration. And she was with me today at NPR West. You can find links to their blogs and ours at nprnewsandnotes.org. And the conversation doesn't stop here. Be sure and visit us online at nprnewsandviews.org and upload your pictures if you are celebrating next week.